y'all doing? Good this evening. Brother Troy's up by AJ, and all I got to say is that God is incredible. His timing on everything, every corner that you turn, you see His timing in everything, every person, everything that's happening. I just got back from being by my mom up there. She's going through some health problems, been for quite some time, but in a little situation. And looking at monies and different things and praying about going up there at that time. You know, I was supposed to go in February. And you know, when the Lord tells you you need to go somewhere and do something, monies doesn't matter. You just do what He tells you to do. And so anyways, it was all the way to the last, and finally I'm like, yeah, I got to go see my mom. I got to go see my brother. I got to go visit Dwayne and all. And so we're headed on our way up that way, you know. We headed up, planned it, brought my mom some ducks, you know. She was excited about bringing some home-cooked stuff up that way. And so anyways, I got to get up there, and a lot of things needed to happen that happened. Just God allowed me to get my foot in the door. Got a crack in there. You know, how many know sometimes when you see a crack or an opportunity, you capitalize on it, you know? Sometimes you're praying for something, you don't see something happening, maybe for a long time, maybe just a little thing. Then all of a sudden you see a crack. You're like, that's all I need. That's all I need right there. And it just gives you a momentum to thrust forward and to continue moving forward and the way God's got you going. So I got all that taken care of, and on the way back, you know, I was sharing with Brother Scott, you know. He said, hey, how's it going up there? I'm like, I'm on my way home now, you know. And so I shared with him everything that happened up there. And after I got finished sharing everything with him, he was like, man, almost sounds like you was in Sunday morning service. He said, Pastor, just got finished talking about it. It doesn't matter where you are, what's going on, it's confirmation. Confirmation. Everything you just said is basically what he just got finished talking about. So there's nowhere that you can go to escape and get away from the presence of the Lord and the Spirit for listening. And everything gets confirmed. Confirmation. Then I get home, and it's not online yet. Brother Herman spoke on the Torah portion, I believe it was, and then Sunday morning service. So I got me two CDs, and throughout that day I listened to them. Another confirmation. Brother Herman starts talking about the mold, the heart, the vessel, the clay. About a week before that, me and Marianne and Linda was talking about, remember, about the clay and how the potter and out on the wheel, you know, he works the clay. And I'm like, it's kind of fuzzy. I don't remember the whole thing, you know. And I was like, yeah, you know, maybe it'll come to us one day. We'll remember it. And Brother Herman starts talking about it, you know, after the Torah portion. So I'm listening. Yeah, me laughing, I'm not going to lie. About all the massaging, that had me rolling. About, it was a brother, your dad, and Brother James. And yeah, he was talking about how when they get massaged, you know, it might not be all that easy or nice like it seems. And all of a sudden they're hitting places and rubbing down where you ain't never felt before. He said, I felt like punching that person. Pretty tough thing to go through. But I mean, I caught it. I understood. The guy's massaging us. He takes it out the heart of the vessel and he's working on it. And that's what we're being done. We're being worked on. Continually worked on. So, with that being said, I just really feel like I'm being boxed in on every side. In my personal relationship, I don't know about you, but I know in my personal relationship, since Seed War, when we started talking about Cain, and the love God had for that man, that even though he killed his brother and he should have been killed in return, God extended his mercy and his love for a long time towards him. So when you look at the Seed War, and then it collides with the Torah portion, and I started digging into looking more into Jacob and his sons, and I open up the book of Jasher in chapter 37. Brother Scott's been reading on it. He got me interested in looking at the book of Jasher more than just the beginning chapters. So I went straight into there because I was already reading the Torah portion. I'm already catching the sea war. So I started putting all this together and listening to Jacob and his sons, Judah and all these boys, everything that they was going through. They're going through battles. They're going through wars. And you know, in one part of Jasher, you have Jacob. They're fixing to go against people as thick as the sand on the seashore. And there's only 112 of them. And this is what they're up against. And Jacob puts his hands up and says, "The Lord my God, and I ask that you give my boys strength. I draw strength to win against our enemies. Help us against our enemies." Because they're outnumbered. They're thick as the sand as the seashore. And there's only 112 of them. And so when you see the battle take place, and then you see Judah, he's facing one of the best archers. You got Jashub. The dude is so good at arrow shooting, he will not miss. He hits everything. He doesn't miss his target. And so when you read, Jashub is on his horse, and he's covered in iron mail, and he's coming straight for Judah. And Judah's going straight for him. And Judah grabs, no, before he grabs a stone, he's shooting the arrows at him, and he don't miss. Instead of hitting Judah, God causes the arrows to hit his own men. And keep hitting his own men and all his men. Every shot hits his own men. And he doesn't miss. Imagine that. So whose power is involved here? We got God's power involved, giving strength to Judah. Here's Judah. He gets shot at a couple of times and misses. And then he picks up a stone and he hits him in the shield and knocks him clean off his horse. Boom. And you know, the story goes on and on. I'm not going to get into the details of the story. But my main point is, here's these boys going out to battle. They got strength. They got power from the Most High when Jacob lifts his hands. And you see where they draw their strength from. They draw it from the Most High. That's where they get their strength from. And so you read all this. You're listening to the Torah portions. You're listening to the seed wars. And you start seeing a clear picture of the love that God has for men. You see it clearer and clearer. And so I've been getting more and more closer to God than I've ever gotten in my entire life. I have a love for God like I've never had before. And I see the love that He has for us, His mercy. It makes me really, throughout the day, in the morning, before I go to bed, I'm like, God, I thank You for Your mercy. You are so patient with us. All this information really get you closer to Him and you understand the love that He has. But with all that being said, then Brother Marcel comes, more confirmation. There was something that he said that stuck out to me the most. And that was in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 25, putting this into practice. Strive for mastery of being temperate in all things. Practice this of which you are born of His kingdom. Put into practice temperance in all things. And so you can find in your life there's a lot of things that we could get real edgy about. You know, we all have that mindset of we want it right now, or somebody done me something. That one right there goes a long ways in a lot of things, to be honest with you. Because you pick up on it whenever you're walking in your everyday life and the things that you do. You know, something will happen, a situation, you start thinking about that verse of scripture right there. Strive for mastery of being temperate in all things, because we can master a lot of things, right? There's a lot of things that we've learned how to master well. When we want to make money, you learn how to master it. So when it comes to temperance, can we master it? I believe we can. Strive for mastery of being temperate in all things. Practice this of which you are born of His kingdom. Put into practice temperance in all things. So I want to talk a little bit about, I'm going to go through quite a few scriptures here on some things that we can put into practice. Let's go to Obadiah chapter 1. Boy, it's been a long time since I found Obadiah. Where is it at? Help me out with it a little bit. It's after Amos? I'm on Amos, but I don't see it. I see Amos and Micah. Oh, it's in between Amos and Micah. Come on. All right, here we go. Obadiah chapter 1, 12 through 15. Do not gloat over your brother's day, the day of his misfortune. And do not rejoice over the sons of Judah in the day of their destruction. Yes, do not boast in the day of their distress. Do not enter the gate of my people in the day of their disaster. Yes, you do not gloat over their calamity in the day of their disaster. And do not loot their wealth in the day of their disaster. Do not stand at the fork of the road to cut down their fugitives, and do not imprison their survivors in the day of their distress. So there in Obadiah, we see our brothers. Maybe they're going through a tough time. Maybe they might be doing something wrong. And maybe they're Christian, maybe they're not. But we see them doing something, and all of a sudden we say, ha, I knew it was coming. Do you know so-and-so? Boy, they was in church, they was doing good, and they went and did. I knew that was going to happen to them. Watch what you say and what you think, because what you dish out, you could get it in return. That's what it says right here. Do not gloat over your brother's day, the day of his misfortune, and do not rejoice over the sons. What are we supposed to do? Loving our brother as loving ourselves. And Father, give them the strength. Father, whatever it is that they're going through, Lord, just give them the strength to overpower whatever it is that they've been put into. Because, hey, the same thing somebody else may go through, you may go through it. I may go through it. So what we put out, that's what we're going to get back, right? That's some things that we can put into practice. Let's look at Matthew chapter 5. Don't go there. The one out of everybody that would speak here tonight would be Brother Scott. Where's Brother Preston? Where's my backup tonight? He ain't here. Oh, man. Matthew chapter 5. Verses 43 through 48. And this is the Messiah speaking. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 and 25. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Matthew chapter 7. Seven through 14. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he not give him a snake will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? Then Luke chapter 6. And turning his gaze towards his disciples, he began to say, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you and ostracize you and insult you and scorn your name as evil for the sake of the Son of Man. Be glad in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way their fathers used to treat the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you are receiving your comfort in full. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for their fathers used to treat the false prophets in the same way. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. Whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him the other also. And whoever takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt from him either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. Treat others the same way you want them to treat you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful and just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Pardon, and you will be pardoned. Give, and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return." That has nothing to do with money. It has everything to do with the life we're supposed to live and portray, that of Christ, the Messiah, and his Father. That's what we're supposed to be doing. That's supposed to be us as light and salt. That's some good ones to stay put into practice and meditate on. And that was, I'm going to quote again, Matthew 5, Matthew 6, Matthew 7, and Luke 6. That was all what our Messiah told us, our Mashiach. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Luke chapter 8. Verses 19. And 19 through 21. And they answered and said, "John the Baptist," and the others say, I'm in the wrong one. Luke chapter 8, I'm in 9. And his mother and brothers came to him, and they were unable to get to him because of the crowd. And it was reported to him, your mother and your brothers are standing outside wishing to see you. But he answered and said to them, my mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and they do it. That's my mother and that's my brothers. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Six through 13. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? Clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump, just as you're in fact unleavened. For Christ our Passover also has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote you in my letter not to associate with immoral people. I did not at all mean with the immoral people of this world, or with the covetous and swindlers, or with the idolaters, for then you would have to go out of the world. But actually, I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother if he is an immoral person, or covetousness, or an idler, or a reveler, or a drunkard, or a swindler, not to even to eat with such a one. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Do you not judge those who are within the church? But he says, for what have I to do with judging outsiders? Do you not judge those who are within the church? But those who are outside, God judges. Remove the wicked man from amongst yourselves. And I was reminded when I read this scripture about the leaven and the unleavened bread, when we started doing the feast, I understood clearly what the unleavened and leavened bread was talking about. I got to get this sinful nature, this leaven out of me. All this stuff has got to be fixed. And according to the scripture, as you do it, that's what breaks it off. And so we learned about that back then. And then we're going to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, 1 through 15. But as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, in perseverance. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible and pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. Likewise, urge the young men to be sensible in all things. Show yourself to be an example of good deeds, with purity and doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. Urge bond slaves to be subject to their own masters in everything, to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, not showing all good faith, so that they will adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in every respect. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior in Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. These things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one disregard you. When I came across this in the Torah portion, and you look, what it all boils down to is, you take all these scriptures, and you may have something that you're working on, and it may be a trouble, you may be going through a difficulty, trying to overcome something that no matter which angle you try, it seems like you just cannot get through it for some reason. It just seems so difficult. You know what the problem is? We need to quit focusing on the problem and start gathering all the information that we get on Thursdays, that we get on Saturdays, that we get on Sundays, get at home, get into this position where you just reading and gathering all this information and learning these stories like you would watch a movie. When I'm reading the book of Joshua, I'm like, whoa, he gave them strength and power to knock those dudes down. That's incredible. And then these same guys would turn around and do evil sexual acts and wrong to their brother Joseph. I'm just reading in the Torah now. I'm like, oh my gosh, they're doing this and they're doing that. And then you're finding out the way that God treats them and his love for them. And I'm like, so you put all that together and you start living that. And you start reading that, and you get this passion and this zeal, the problems go away. You don't have to fight trying to get rid of it anymore. It just goes away. I don't know how to explain it, that I don't have to fight to not do certain things anymore. When it comes up, look, there were some things that was told to me when I came home today about Facebook and different things. You know what my response was? What I got to do, it has nothing to do with me. That in my walk, my relationship, what would Yeshua do? What would he say? What would he do, right? Well, how would he respond? How would my master act? How would he act? What would he react to? Remember, how I react, what I respond, that's what I'm going to dish back. That's what it says, right? So when you're already living this and you're in it every day and you just gathering the information, run into the confirmations, all the problems that you had dissolved, they go away. You have no more problems with it. You don't have any more struggle with, I would just say, alcohol. I would just say any kind of sinful nature thing that you're dealing with. Hatred towards somebody else, it goes away. You find out the love that God has for mankind and for yourself and for others, that goes away. You don't have any more hatred towards one another anymore. It just eliminates itself. It goes away. And this is where it's at right here. It all comes and stems with changing our plans, our habits, and our schedules to his will to bring that zeal and that passion. Me and Brother Herman was talking about that the other day. It was last night, matter of fact. We was talking about priorities. When we get our priorities straight, everything falls into play. Our priorities right with God, it all falls into play. Everything works. You won't have no, man, I got so much going on, I won't be able to make. You'll find a way. You'll make things change. You'll change everything. You know, we've learned how to get in the habits of, Brother Herman talked about that too. Talked about watching TV. All kind of habits, all kind of things. We change all those priorities. And is it hard? Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to change habits once you start in the habit of doing something in routine. But you start changing it. Your heart's pounding. Things ain't going the way it seemed. But you adjust it. And look, I didn't want to. Brother Josh, he texted me and said, hey, Brother Troy ain't going to be able to make it on Thursday night. He's going to be up there in Indiana. Can you do Thursday night? And I was like, I got to hunt. I got to do this. I got to do that. I'm like, I looked at that text message and I didn't respond to you for a couple of hours, did I? It was a couple of hours. And I went home and I started looking at my notes. I'm looking around. How many knows it's easy to say, I'm good, you know, I got a lot to do. And I remember the message on Sunday. The pastor said, he's got so much going on that it's easy for him to come up with an excuse. I got something going on. I got something to do. Ain't nobody I've ever seen got more to do than what he's got. I'm telling you. When you look behind the scenes, them two right there are busy. I mean busy. And whenever I would call them in the past, they would break off from me and do something, you know, have a meeting, whatever, and take out their time. And I find out they had a lot going on already. But my point is, I got to that spot and I started thinking about it. I'm like, you know what? If I wanted to go fishing or I wanted to hunt, I would make a way to do that. I've mastered a way to get in there to make that dollar. I would do that. And I don't have a message right now, but you know what? I owe it to God, and I owe it to Him. You know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to make sure I get in my Word. I'm going to make sure I study. And all I can share is the relationship that I'm having with Him. That's all I can share. I'm not going to share anything beyond that. I'm not going to give anything else but beyond what I'm going through, what I'm experiencing. And all I can tell you is that through all of this, it's really incredible getting close to God right now. I've never been this close to Him before. And I've never seen things about God like I see now. He's got an incredible love for people. Now I can honestly, all day long, I can't help it. Man, Father, thank you. You're so merciful. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. Thank you. Just constantly thanking Him for so many different things. What's our priorities? Priorities is the problem. It's the big problem. We get our priorities straight, it all falls into play. I promise you it does. We got a priority problem. Changing our plans, our habits, and our schedules to His will. And you know, there is consequences for our disobedience. When you go back, prayerfully seeking and finding out the truth, it propels you to change and stand firm. You know, I was talking to Brother Herman last night about past, present, and future. He goes, past, present, and future? He's the same yesterday. He's the same today. And He's the same forever. Isn't that right? Yesterday, today, and forever. We look into the past. We look into the present. And we look into the future. What's the future? We got to have a vision. You know, thank you, Lord. Vision. There was something I wanted to talk about. Oh, yeah. My stepdad, my mother's husband, you know, him and I had our differences for a long time, different things, work and all that stuff. Make a long story short, it's been quite a few years. I disagree with a lot of things that they've done in the past, decisions that they made, and I fought it for a long time, and that's why we didn't see eye to eye. But here recently, I've been learning, it doesn't matter who it is, you have to love everybody. So I had to come to that spot, boy. You're going for round 10, round 15, round 20, you're going to learn to love. So on my way up there, I was like, man, I got to learn to love. So in the situation, knowing messes that people get in, I just loved. I loved like I ain't never loved that man before. I loved, and we sat down and was talking about the situation that they're in. And he said, son, I don't know what to do. I really don't. We had zero, nothing. And I looked at him and I said, hey, you know, when y'all planning on coming over here, you know, like, to build a house, you got to have blueprints. When you plan to do the jobs that you're doing up here and y'all renting and all, and he's like, I said, did you have a vision and a goal? No. I said, you know, if you don't have a vision and a goal, he's like, yeah, we've just been in survival mode. You know how many people are just constantly in survival mode? You know how many Christians today are constantly, like Brother Marcel said, their faith is in a wreckage? Lots of people. People in the church, in this church right here, they have a wreckage in their faith. And they have no vision, no goal, and it's a wreckage. And it's a constant survival mode. How in the world can you help somebody if you're in a constant survival mode? Pastor said, there's going to be a lot of people be holding on to Jesus. That's fine. But how in the world going to help somebody else if we're holding on to Jesus? I can imagine if you're in a shipwreck and a wreckage and somebody else is needing some help. You know, it says in the future, it says people's hearts will fail them for what they're going to go through and what they see. And they come to you and they say, hey, can you help me? How can I help you? I don't know what to do. Is that the Christian? Is that the light and the salt we're going to do? I don't know. I'm still trying to pay my bills. I don't know where the next motor is going to come from. I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know how to do that, right? We're still stuck in the same spot. And the world's going through hell and back. And we're supposed to be light and salt, right? How are we supposed to do that? It says, look in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. This command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you fight the good fight, keeping faith and good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. Among these are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan, so that they will be taught not to blaspheme. Shipwreck. That's what he talked about, being shipwrecked. Having faith in shipwreck. Have no vision. Shipwreck. Stuck in whatever problem we're still stuck in. We got to get the information. We got to fall in love with the Father. We got to get all this and work on it. That's the only way. That's the only way I'm finding to get through in my life. It's incredible. And you run into the... It's no accident that certain ones is talking about certain things. I had no idea he was going to talk about that. And I just got finished talking to Mariana. It's not by accident all these things are happening. And I'm like, golly, I said, Lord, I said, I got so much information in my head. So much information going through the book of Jasher, going through, all these different things, the Torah portion. I'm like, I'm eating it up like candy. I'm like, whoa, that's incredible. Whoa, they did this. Whoa, they did that. Joseph, look at Joseph. Man, look at Jacob. And I'm reading all this. I'm like, what? 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 I'm like, that's your love. That's your love. And everything else, all the problems fizzle out. And you just find yourself stepping in line, stepping in line, stepping in line. I've been having things happen in my family like I ain't never had before. Health, Brother Josh. And when he texted me and said, hey, can you do that? I'm like, my throat was all swollen up. My nose was running. I'm like, golly, I might even be able to talk that day. I kept thanking the Father for my healing. Kept thanking for my healing. Thank you, Father, for my healing. Thank you for my healing. 2 days, it was gone. That's fast. No over-the-counter stuff. No special tricks. No hocus-pocus. I'm telling you, just trust in it. Father, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Yeshua. Thank you, my Messiah. I thank Him every day. Thank you for Messiah. Thank you for my healing. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for everything you've done for me. Thank you, Father. So can you imagine being in survival mode, not willing to change, and then all these things come on the earth? Lost people coming to those who are calling themselves Christian. But those who are gathering the information, getting the confirmation, finding out the truth, holding to the rules, following Holy Spirit will be shielded and overshadowed, and that would be in... Psalms 91. They will find themselves ultimately living out what Psalms 91 says. Not just when tragedy strikes, fear strikes, they'll be reading it off the wall. Reading it off the wall in a time of a fearful situation ain't going to help you at all. But living it out and knowing what it is, already understanding what it is to be overshadowed by the Most High, and you're not in fear because you know where you are and who you stand, where your source of strength and power comes from, and you know this already, and spirits that it all comes into play. That's what Psalms 91 is. If we're doing what He's telling us to do, living it on a daily basis, He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. You know, when I get up in the morning, every single morning, I don't miss. I don't went over 60 seconds. Pastor talked about it, you need to give 60 seconds. I'm beyond that. Not to give me any recognition. I'm just saying, after a while, it goes beyond 60 seconds. You want to do it every day more and more. I pray over my brother Herman. I pray over my brother Scott, my brother Josh. There's a certain ones the Lord has overshadowed and has told me to pray. Brother Jack. I pray for Brother Jack. There's certain ones that say, Father, I thank you for overshadowing them. I thank you for shielding their eye gates and their ear gates. I thank you for shielding their mind. Let their mind be the mind as in Yeshua HaMashiach. Every day I pray that over my brothers. Every day. Because I know I might be up to something. And what you put out, that's what you get in return. Maybe that's why I got healed in 2 days. Because I've been praying for my mom consistently every day. Maybe that's how I got it. I don't know. But it all works the same, right? That's how it works. You're praying for your brothers. You're praying for your sisters. Because you know they're going to be faced with it every day. Deception. Deception is rampant all in our face every day. And every time you're trying to do something right for God, it's in your face. And this is the only thing we got in the Spirit of God to defend ourselves. The other, I don't remember what it was, a couple weeks ago. Because of that Torah portion right there about the way we're supposed to act with husbands, wives. Me and my wife got in a confrontation one day. And I said, hold it right there. Wait a minute. I just got finished reading this. Let me read this. And I read it. And I said, now, we got two choices. We can continue doing this and we can see it being the seed line of Cain. And it's going to seed in us. It's going to root. It's going to bring forth destruction in our lives. And we're going to end up like every one of these that got destroyed. Or we can choose Yeshua HaMashiach. We can live off of this one right here. Cut these seeds and they're going to get ripped out right now. And it's going to be all over it. Now, another thing that was said on a Sunday that really helped me was he talked about, how did he say that? It was about that you have time. You have time. If you've gone in sin and made some mistakes, it's not over with yet. You got time. You got a certain amount of time. It was about, that's right. When he told Cain, he said, sin lies at the door. I remember it now. When sin lies at the door. You got an opportunity right there. It's not over with. You already feel that guilty conscience. That's what you got, that guilty conscience, and you know you're in the wrong. And it can go on for days. It can go for a week. But you got an opportunity, as long as you feel that guilty conscience, that you could change it right now before it starts seed. But if you wait too long and you go ahead and act and keep acting, before you know it, the seed takes root. It starts growing and produces that fruit. Then you're in a world of trouble. But if you do like you said, hey, sin lies at the door. You got a chance right here. You got an opportunity. There's mercy and there's grace for you. And there it is. You take it. You do the right thing. Like we tell Casey all the time. Do the right thing. Do the right thing. Just do the right thing. And so now she knows. Just do the right thing. Just do the right thing. That's all you got to do. And when you do the right thing, the pressure goes away. You're relieved. You feel the love of God. You're covered by Yeshua. Thank you, my Lord. Thank you, my Lord, for doing that for me. For taking all that. That was hard, what he took from me. And then the Father's got the mercy and the grace. And you can continue forward. So that helped me out a lot. But you see, you tend to forget things. You got to go back. I listen to the messages over and over again. And so I've been listening to some Torah portions. I was looking over stuff for this tonight. Now I was getting a little bit rusty. So now I'm going home tonight and I'm going back and listening to that Sunday's message because I want to keep myself refreshed in it. That was very important to me. It helped me out a lot. Now I was starting to forget a little bit. So you got to go back and go over them again and again. I'm only retaining so much. But I just want to share a little bit out of the book of Jasher. I just got a couple of verses here. It says in book of Jasher, chapter 37, verse 14, of what Jacob did whenever he was faced with adversity with his sons. You know, they were coming. And they was on every side. Seven split ups of a battle that was fixing to take place that they was in a lot of trouble. And it says in book of Jasher, chapter 37, verse 14, and Jacob prayed to the Lord for his sons. And he spread forth his hands to the Lord. And he said, O God, you are an almighty God. You are our Father. Thou didst form us, and we are the works of thy hands. I pray thee, deliver my sons through thy mercy from the hand of their enemies, who are this day coming to fight with them, and save them from their hand. For in thy hand is power and might to save the few from the many. And give unto my sons thy servants strength of heart and might to fight with their enemies, to subdue them, and make their enemies fall before them. And let not my sons and their servants die through the hands of the children of Canaan. But if it seemeth good in thine eyes to take away the lives of my sons and their servants, take them in thy great mercy through the hands of thy ministers, that they may not perish this day by the hands of the kings of the Amorites. Now, after I read that, I understood a little bit more what Jacob was doing. So now I use that sometimes during the day. I'm like, Father, I just want to thank you for giving me strength against my enemies like you did for Jacob. I can say that because I read that and I know that. And I can use that. You did it for Jacob. You did it for David. You gave him strength to bend a bow of bronze. Give me the strength, Father, to defend me against my enemies. I got situations going on here or there. Just thank you for helping me with it. I thank you, Father, giving my family the strength to override all these walls of division in my family like you gave to Jacob. So I can say that because I know that. But if you don't know that, you're just going to say some kind of little hoo-hoo prayer out your head, but you really don't know if it's going to work or not. But when you go back to the source, the information, you can say that because you know that. And he'll pick up on that. Well, you know a little bit more about me. You're getting a little bit closer to me. I can help you with that. You know, you want to be a son, you want to be a daughter. I can help you with that. So quit focusing on the problem and focus on gathering and learning of the Most High. The rewards, we learn the rewards. There's information fully about rewards. There's information full of consequences. It's what Yeshua HaMashiach did. Got to get a visual of where we're going. And you're going to have to give up some things to do it. There was one scripture in here I wanted to look at. In our life change. Look in Revelation chapter 7, 1 through 12. Revelation chapter 7, 1 through 12. After this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth, so that no wind would blow on the earth or on the sea or any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun, having the seal of the living God. And he cried out with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the bondservants of our God on their foreheads." And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. Now when I got to this part in my Torah right here, after reading everything about Jacob, after reading everything about his sons, everything they went through, everything they're going through, and then I get to the end of my Torah portion, I read right here from the tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. From the tribe of Asher, I'm like, okay, now we're getting to the sons right here. Here we're in Revelations, the tribe of Asher, the tribe of Simeon, the tribe of Zebulun, Issachar, Levi, all the sons right here, Joseph, Benjamin, here they are all right here. Nations coming from these boys way in the future, people that's living today, that's from their lineage. I'm like, okay, they got people on this planet right now that's going to be part of them that's still living today. I'm like, this is going into the future. I just got to finish reading about them boys, everything that went through. All that happened with Jacob and Esau, that was another story in itself in the Torah portion that was incredible. How Jacob and Esau went split ways, then they come together. Jacob had no idea what was going to happen. God had already all planned out. When Esau meets him, he's like, "I love you, my brother. I got all that I need." I'm like, look at this. This is incredible. And so we get here, way, way in the future, here from them sons, nations come that he's done chose already. In verse 9, After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could count from every nation. And that right there, when I read the Torah portion on Saturday night when Brother Marcel was here, it choked me up again. You know, you just get those moments when you're just reading and spending time with God. It chokes you up. Like, you get to see Him. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could count from every nation, all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands, and they cry out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing. I don't want to go any further than that. Okay. "Salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four creatures. And they fell on their face before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." All right, man, that choked me up right there, I'm telling you. And then in 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3, verses 4 through 10. "You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He who is in you than he is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." So, like I said before, it's going to be very difficult if we just keep focusing on our problems. Very difficult. More than likely not going to get through it. Because God doesn't want us to get to Him by just going fixing our problems. He wants us to get to Him by gathering information that He's given us. Get the information, dig into it, and you'll fall in love with Him more and more, and you'll understand more and more clearer who He is. And when you find out more and more who He is, the more everything just falls into play, our priorities. Elijah chapter 1, no, not Elijah, 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 19 through 21. So he departed, Elijah departed from there, and he found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, while he was plowing with 12 pairs of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed over to him and threw his mantle on him. He left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Please, let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again, for what have I got to do? What have I done to you? Go ahead. Do whatever it is you got to do." So he returned from following him and took the pair of oxen and sacrificed them and boiled their flesh with the implements of the oxen and gave it to the people, and they ate. And then he arose and followed Elijah and ministered to him. Why can't we do that? Here's Elisha. He's plowing the plow. Here's Elijah. He takes the mantle, says, "Here it is." He throws the mantle on him. "You got to drop all your stuff and follow me." What happened with the disciples? Here comes Yeshua on the scene. Tells them who he is, talks to them, tells them about themselves. "Follow me." They dropped their nets, fishing. What did they do? They followed him. Did they get it all right away? No, they didn't. Was it easy for them? No, it wasn't easy. would just drop what you're doing, listen to the Spirit tells you, hey, follow me, and just do it. But you know what's hard to follow him? When we want to do it his way, and we want to try and do it our way. We try and hold on to things. We don't want to give up. We got his priorities, and we got our priorities. His priorities, our priorities. It'll drive you insane trying to do his priorities and your priorities. It runs you in the dirt. Your heart's pounding. You're trying to get it done. You're always in control. We're not going to get it done being in control. Sister Marlena talked to in youth last night about that. You know, you got to let go. You got to give it up. You can't be in control of it. It's not going to work that way. It's his way or no way. She talked about, you got to give up. You might have your desire to play football. You might have your desire to go charter fishing or whatever. God might have you doing something totally different. We got to listen to what God's telling us to do. She's following her husband. He's an evangelist. She said, it's hard for me to talk with other people. She says, I could talk to everybody in an open setting. She said, when it comes to one-on-one, she says, she doesn't know how the words to say, so she's learning, right? She's trying. She's doing what the Lord's telling her to do. There's a great calling on her and her husband to evangelize, and he's doing an incredible job. Brother Herman's been talking to me about some prison ministry just by doing what Paul and all them did. They wrote letters. They wrote letters. You send them letters. Who cares about all the other churches if they got a foothold on the prisons and all that? You can write letters. He gets to one gets to another one, gets to 10, to 20, and they share with others. You get to a multitude of people. We got to get to souls, right? We got to be light and salt. We got to be light and salt. We got to help somebody. Somebody's drowning over there. They need some help. They need to quit having people screaming in their face what they need to do and what they don't need to do. Just share the love of God. Share the stories. Give them the love. And they'll get it. Just give it to them. Be light and salt. Right? So the last verse I got. So God's telling us what's hard is giving up our sensual desires and our habits of what we want and what we like. What appeases us can ultimately destroy us. Luke chapter 4, verse 4. And Jesus answered him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the Father. You want to live? Live by his word. You're not going to be able to live by your own words. You got to live by his. I'm telling you, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the Father. In my business, I thank him, Father. Whatever you want to do in it, that's what I want to do. I might not got whatever. I might not have everything what everybody else has got. I might not be way, way up there. But this is where you got me. This is what you want me to do. That's what I'm going to do. With my family, this is where my mom's at. I've been praying for my family for years. The walls be broken down. Nobody's dead yet. They're still alive. I'm going to continue, and I'm going to continually pray that the walls be torn down, that I be light and salt in people's life. And I'll say, Father, there's anything that I've done in my family's life, I ask you to please blot it out. And that's what Yeshua did for me, to be blotted out so that I can go before them, that I can be light and salt, right? That's what we got to do. We got to be light and salt. Because if that salt doesn't have no flavor, it's no good for nothing but to be tried on the foot of men. Nothing but a doormat. We got to get this right. There's 10 of us, 5 of us left, so be it. 20, 30? Who looks at numbers? Who cares? All I know is that we got to do our part in our relationship. And we surely ain't going to make it trying to hold other people up and try and keep pulling them out, all like little babies. They're going to get it or they're not going to get it. That's all we can do, right? So move forward with our relationship. Pastor, you got anything? Brother Herman? Anybody? All right. Let's continue in prayer for Sister Justine's dad, right? My mom, my whole family. Father, just thank you so much. You're so merciful. You're so gracious. I thank you so much for the truth. I thank you so much, Father, for sharing with your glory. You said when we look into your glory, we'll be instantly changed. And that is happening, Father. Has it been hard? It has been hard. But we thank you so much, Father, for loving us and getting to us the truth, Father. We pray for Sister Justine, her father, for giving her strength, Father. You said it's appointed for man once to die, but I thank you, Father, for giving us the length of days that you desire for us to have, Father. We know that we've made mistakes in the past, but I just thank you, Father, for overriding those things, Father, with your love and your mercy. We just thank you so much for your Son. Thank you, Yeshua, for the price that you paid, your sacrifice. Thank you, my Lord. Thank you, my Savior. Thank you for my mom. I thank you for giving her health and her colon and her body. She's too young to be going through all of this stuff, Father. I know we all have to pay for the consequences that we've done, Father, but I stand in the gap and I make a hedge for Sister Justine's dad and my mom, Father, and all those that are going through health issues tonight and today, Father. I thank you, Lord Yeshua, for paying that price. I thank you, Father, for your mercy and your grace. You're such a wonderful Father. I love you, Father, and I just thank you for everyone as they go home tonight, as they lie in their beds and rest, and their minds are continually protected and shielded by you, the Most High. We love you and give you all the praise and all the glory in Yeshua's name. Amen.